about this much space between me and the car in front. And yet this car, which was huge, went across me. I've never seen a car go in front of me. Like, he went, it must have been about 90 miles an hour across all three lanes of us. Nearly took out an elderly couple in the car next to me. And then he lost control of his car. Went into all these cones. The cones came flying across the motorway. And I had to swerve. And it's only because I went into a bit of shock, it's only afterwards that I thought that's impossible that he could have got through that space. And when I've reflected back, I remember seeing the road opening up. The road opened up. I mean, it was an absolute miracle. That road opened up and he was able to get through and he was unharmed. You know, the other couple were unharmed. Nobody crashed. And, you know, just in the natural, it's impossible. But just amazing. You know, there's probably a lot of people in here who've got stories of angels intervening in their lives, and it's just amazing. So, on to today. I have been more nervous about speaking today than I've ever been in my life. It reminded me of when I was a student and I had to give my first presentation to all the people at this hospital I was on placement to, all the heads of department, and I spent about an hour just sitting on the loo before doing that present. And I felt like that today. I felt really nervous, and I was saying to Jay before, I feel like running around the block. And Jay said he does that before gigs sometimes. You know, I literally just wanted to be jumping around because I had so much nervous energy. Because what's on my heart to share, which is about having an eternal perspective, is what God's been stirring in me for weeks. And I've been talking about this stuff in my head for weeks, to the point I was almost wanted to shut the voice off. Don't say any more. I'm not going to have time to say half of that stuff. And it's just really woken me up. I've been in some sort of weird Facebook fog for weeks. Honestly, just desensitized from the things of God. And the things of God, in a lot of ways, have just become so distant and almost not relevant to my real life. And that's what I want to talk about today. Having an eternal perspective. What does that mean? Because perspective is a powerful force. It informs our decisions, our beliefs, our hopes and fears, and our priorities. I just want to show you a little video, if I may. So this is when we went to Blackpool last summer. And you know, in fairgrounds, they have the little section that's for the kids that aren't tall enough to go on the big stuff. So they have like miniature versions of all the rides. This is me on a ride with Joseph. Okay, it's a tiny ride, really. But let me just show you. Well, here we go. So I'm on the end next to Joseph on this tiny little ride. Say hi, we'll give you a shout out. Hear the screams, the evil laughter from Tino. That's me. That's me screaming away on this tiny ride. Because my perspective of height is probably not like most people. I thought that was really high. And I've got a 6-year-old Joseph next to me, like, what are you screaming about? He said, this ride is so lame. And I was absolutely freaking out. And as you hear, Tino thought that was hilarious. But that's just really made me think about perspective. The perspective that we have on things and how things can seem so overwhelming and scary. And I think sometimes God's like the guy on the end who just kept looking at me like, what the heck? What is up with you? This is nothing, you know? And it just made me think about that. Because I think when we take our eyes off God, we kind of compartmentalize our Christian life. That's what I've done in some ways. You know, we come here on a Sunday, we might be serving in Adventurers or wherever we're serving. And we're here and we're singing songs like, Lord, I surrender all to you. And lately I've started thinking, how can I sing this? There are so many things that I haven't surrendered to you. You know, and it so fits with what you were saying before, that idea that if we surrender all, somehow we're going to lose out. We're going to lose out on our dreams and our visions. But what about if we saw our life, our whole life, as an offering to God? That's just an entirely different perspective. The whole of our life as an offering to God, as an act of worship. You know, just being here on a Sunday morning doesn't mean that we're a Christian, doesn't mean that we're following God. It's what happens the rest of the time. You know, how's your relationship with the Lord? You know, I've been so challenged by that. And you think about the effort that we put into other relationships. You know, when I think about Tino, who I love dearly, I can't wait to spend time with him. I love to see him when I get home after work. I love to tell him about my day. I love to share my heart with him. You know, but sometimes we don't have that with God. And yet he's there more than Tino can't be there with me all the time. You know, God's with me everywhere that I go. He's the one that's in my heart. You know, and I just think, you know, we say that phrase at such and such an age, I gave my life to God. I gave my life. That means everything. My life. Man, am I feeling challenged about all this at the moment? My life. And I'm thinking, wow, here's my church life. Here's my social life. Here's work. And it's so easy to put everything in this little box. And I don't know about you, but I'm just bored of it. Life's pretty boring sometimes. You know, and God is so exciting. When you're in the presence of God, it's amazing, isn't it? But, you know, let's be honest. Sometimes when people talk about heaven and eternity, I remember somebody saying to me once when I was in my 20s, oh, when we're in heaven, we'll be able to praise and worship 24/7. And I was like, oh, okay. I wasn't that excited about that, because if I thought that was amazing, wouldn't I want to praise God more here on earth? If I really, really understood the power of being in his presence and being with him, wouldn't I just be hungry just to be with him? Wouldn't it be like my relationship with Tina, when you fall in love? Wouldn't I just be right now thinking, I cannot wait to get back into the presence of God. I just need to get home. I just want to be with God. When's the last time we really felt like that? You know, because when I was going out with Tino, my word, were we soppy. You know, mum and dad were really soppy. I mean, if he was coming to visit at Liverpool for the weekend, I'd sit at the window waiting for 2 hours before he was even due to arrive. You know, that's how excited I was to spend time with him. But why sometimes has God just become this sort of distant idea rather than a relationship? I just think it's so, so important. Just a few other bits about perspective. Me and Tino have had some pretty funny holidays over the year. Things always seem to go a little bit awry, shall we say, but we just find it quite funny. So one of the places I'd always wanted to go was to the reflecting pools in Washington. I don't know if you've seen the film In the Line of Fire, one of my favourites with Clint Eastwood. And at the end, he sat on the steps looking out over the reflecting pools. Has anybody been? Yeah, absolutely wonderful. So here's the reflecting. Isn't that absolutely beautiful? Okay. Now the next picture is me at the reflecting pools. No water. They'd been drained of water and they were full of scaffolding. I had waited years to sit where Clint Eastwood sat. And that's me. I was just like, are you having a laugh? Yeah. So that's another place I always wanted to go was Salzburg. I mean, that's what I wanted to see. Green hills. And I was literally going, ah, da, da, da. That's what I was going to do. When we went, they had unprecedented weather for the time of year. So there's me. Unbelievable. I've never been so cold in my life. It was so cold that we would go out for an hour and then we'd have to go back to the hotel to get warm. It was just that cold. And we went on the Sound of Music tour bus. It nearly didn't make it up the hill because it kept skidding back in the snow. Oh, that's not that. So that just got me thinking about perspective a little bit as well. You know, how do we perceive things? You know, we just find that funny. We went to the Isle of Wight and we found this sign. We drove, someone said, if you go to the top, it's the best view, one of the best views in the world, apparently. And you got to the top of this hill and the sign says, the best view in the world or something. It was just full of fog. There's just a little photo. I couldn't find that one of this little sign. Nothing to be seen for miles around. So what is an eternal perspective? Just think about eternity for a minute. I mean, sometimes it freaks me out to think about forever. But it you know, our life is like a vapor. It's here one moment and evaporates the next. You know, and we're called to be prepared for eternity. But are we ready? I want you just for a minute to think about how old you are at the moment. Don't let it freak you out. Well, just think about that number in your head for a minute. Anyone freaking out yet? I am. I can't believe that I'm 43. I still think I'm a youth. Sometimes when they talk about youth events, I'm like, woohoo! Oh, hang on. That's not me. You know, it does go so quickly, doesn't it? This earthly time goes so quickly. And sometimes we live like we've got all the time in the world, which is different to living with an eternal perspective. Because what that does, that's a worldview, is just get everything you can in this time that you're here. Do everything that you can in this time that you're here to get everything that you want. That's different to having an eternal perspective where you know who you are, who God made you, and what we're here for. Yes, we're going to go and be with the Lord in glory forever. Are we even excited about that? Do we really think about that very often, what that means? I mean, it does freak me out sometimes because the world is very much geared towards beginnings and endings, isn't it? You know, and we think about getting older and retirement and things like that. But eternal life, forever in the presence of God. I want to be more excited about that. And I believe God's really taking me on this journey now where I'm falling in love with Jesus all over again, maybe more than I ever did before. I woke up and I was so excited this morning. I was just like, good morning, Lord. And it just felt amazing. Something shifted for me while I've been preparing this in the last few weeks. Something has shifted in my life. And the verse that you shared before, he who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. Now, we must have all thought about eternal perspective when we gave our lives to the Lord. That must have been what we were thinking about, living with him forever. But do you find yourself just caught up in the problems of life constantly, just the anxieties and the worries and the what on earth am I doing? You know, do you find yourself using all the world's perspective on problems? I mean, how many times do you hear, plenty more fish in the sea? Always somebody worse off than you? Or don't judge until you've walked a mile in someone else's shoes? Now, there's nothing wrong with these things. They do give you a bit of a different perspective. But the truth is, I can't walk a mile in your shoes because I'm not you. And you can't walk a mile in my shoes because you're not me. The only person that can fully understand someone else's situation and give you the empathy and compassion you need is Jesus. Because he can identify with all our weaknesses in every situation. He's the one that can do that. But, you know, it helps to have an eternal perspective. It helps how we see other people, but I'll come on to that in a bit. You know, it says in the Bible about storing up treasures in heaven. And you know what the Lord said to me this morning? He said, store up treasures in heaven, not memories on Facebook. Whoa, that was a bit hard to hear. But you know what? I have been so caught up in all of that. You know that social media's got its place, absolutely. It's helped me stay in contact with some people and it's just been amazing. But the fact is I read Facebook more than any other books or the Bible or anything because somehow that's become more real to me because that's real life. And sometimes the things of God can feel like they're even interfering in our lives, you know, because it doesn't seem quite relevant. It doesn't fit. And we think that people with an eternal perspective have just got their heads in the clouds and they don't understand real life. And you can take it to that extreme. And I think there's a place to be both, to have an eternal perspective, to know that we are here for a purpose, that we're here as ambassadors, that we're here for God, that he sent us out. Yes, we were born as babies here, but if he came into the room now and sent us all out to do his work, maybe we'd be more willing to do it because we would see it differently. But I wonder if he walked in now and said, okay, so tell me, how's it been going? You know, how's it been going with the things I gave you to do? You know, loving your neighbour as yourself, laying down your life for your friends, feeding the needy and looking after the poor. You know, what report would we have? You know, I started to get a little bit worried about that, to be honest, and thinking, I don't know, what would I say? You know, there's that song, What Have You Done For Me Lately? You know, what have we done for him lately? You know, to express his love and his heart for people. It's so easy to get caught up in things. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, can anybody tell me some of the things that Paul went through in his life? Shout him out. What did he go through? Shipwrecked? Starving? Stoned? Yes. Snakes. Yeah, he didn't have a great time, did he really? A lot of things, but if we look at Philippians 1, verse 19, so 19 to 26. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So this is Paul writing to the believers at Philippi. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Now, one of the things that really strikes me about Paul when you read about Paul is how he was always rejoicing. He was rejoicing in prison. He didn't know whether he was going to get out or not. He knew the importance of rejoicing and being with his Father. And he had an eternal perspective, and he was struggling between wanting to stay and do the will and the works of God or wanting to be with Jesus. And this has really challenged me, because I was sort of thinking, well, which of those would I prefer? And then I thought, well, you know, there's a third option in there. Third option is to just sort of loll along in my life, doing the things that I like to do, doing the things that I enjoy, living the way I want to live, making choices myself, calling God in from the sidelines occasionally when it's a bit more of a crisis. And that's really woken me up as well. You know, do I have a strong desire for either of those? Do we understand that being here, we are the hands and the feet and the eyes and the mouth of Jesus? You know, this is really quite important stuff, isn't it? It's just such a challenge. And Paul had an eternal perspective because of worship and rejoicing. And through prayer, he asked the Philippians to pray for him, because he understood again the importance of prayer. But we've made prayer this kind of dull thing that perhaps only 5% of the church do. And as long as they're praying, great. We know someone's praying, so we're covered. You know, where's our prayer life? You know, my mum's such an inspiration, because mum's been talking about prayer and for years, and I know my mum's a prayer. It's not just something she says up here. My mum's a prayer. Every day, praying, seeking God. And I was so blessed when Tino was in Israel, because I knew people were praying. I mean, I just knew, because I was getting nervous about that week. I didn't know how the kids were going to react to their dad not being around for a week. That hadn't happened before. And we had the most incredible week that I think I've had with the kids. They were so at peace. It was unbelievable. And we just had a lovely week, and Tino had an amazing time. And I could sense that people were praying. I knew people were praying for us. And it's just so important. But let's not leave it to other people to do the praying, you know. And I'll put my hand up and say, I've said on threads on Facebook before, yeah, we'll be praying for you. We're thinking of you. We're all praying. And I haven't prayed. I'm going to be really honest and say that. It's so easy to just say, yeah, we're all praying. But, you know, I don't want to just be saying the words anymore. If I say I'm going to pray for somebody, I want to pray for them so they know that they're not on their own. Because if somebody's asking for prayer, there's a reason for that. But, yeah, Paul, what an inspiration. Done so much, but not willing to attempt to accomplish anything in the flesh. Sought to live only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man alive. But if you want to walk in the fullness of what the Holy Spirit's got, you have got to surrender everything. Man, it's a big call, isn't it? But that's why we're here. That is surely why we're here, to surrender everything. And it does feel a little bit scary. And, you know, let's be honest, can we say right at this point, yeah, I can surrender everything? Because if you surrender everything, you've got to be willing for God to ask you to go anywhere and do anything. You know, God asks people to do the impossible, you know. Sometimes it means giving something up, you know. And we get caught in this big deception, I think, that we don't have time for the things of God because life is so busy now. But the truth is, we find time for the things that matter to us. We prioritise things. I always find time to go to the cinema. It's one of my absolute favourite things to do. And if there's nobody free to go, you probably know I go on my own, quite happy. I love the cinema, so I can make time for that. I will make time for certain friends if they want to do something, You know, that there is time. It's one of the greatest resources that Jesus gave to us. And I can testify over the years that when I have given the first fruits of my time to God, it's like I suddenly have all this extra time. You know, so it's a deception to think we don't have time. You walk with the Holy Spirit and trust that he knows what he's doing. You will find you've got oodles of time. Because that's when you're inviting the supernatural in. You know, it's not about being super spiritual. You know, I think we see people with an eternal perspective sometimes as being super spiritual, not in the real world. You know, but it's not about being super spiritual. It's about being supernatural. We've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And the works that we can do and the things that we can see are incredible. You know, I can bear witness just to the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I was prayed for once. So I had some back trouble. I watched my own leg grow. I felt it growing. Absolutely incredible. You know, how excited are we about those things? The things of God. The fact that every one of us here can pray and see miracles and healing. What an incredible thing that God would entrust his Spirit to us. Leave his Spirit to be our guide and our comforter. Absolutely incredible thing that he's done. And Paul had an eternal perspective because he was heavenly minded. But again, it wasn't just that he was pie in the sky and didn't understand about the real pressures of life. I think if anybody understood the real pressures, it was him. And what did he call all those things that happened to him? The light afflictions. I just think that's hilarious. What's our light affliction? Oh, the plasterer can't come this week. It's coming next week now. I'm going to have to wait for me decorating. Oh, I've got to save up for another month to get me new car. I can't believe that. I thought we were going to get it this month. You know, it might sound flippant, but these are the things that become massive issues in our life. And I'm talking from experience here about the things that seem so real. But all of this really came home to me when Tino's uncle, Zio, as they say in Italian, Zio Tony, died a few years ago, 4 years ago now. I've got a little picture of him up here with his wife. So that's from when we went on a holiday to Portugal for his 60th birthday, the whole family. Just the most amazing time. And if ever there was the guy that seemed full of life, it was him. And his whole life was about building his empire, you know, and planning his retirement. And he was forever building onto his home and building on and building on. And when we found out they had cancer, it was just... You know, you can't get your head round at this guy that's so full of life, full of bravado, answer for everything. Thick as thieves with me father-in-law. They were like best friends, brothers and best friends. And Tino and I went to see him at his home. And we walked into the conservatory and he was just sat there, just a broken man. He'd lost lots of weight, lost hope. He was just sat there and it was heartbreaking to see. And Tino just started to share the gospel with him. And it was just so powerful. And my father-in-law was sort of hovering in the doorway because it was so emotional for him seeing his brother in that state. And we knew he didn't have long. And, you know, we prayed for him. And Tino just said to him, this man who was always full of bravado, he just said, Zio, you don't need to be scared anymore. And he just broke down and he wept in Tino's arms. And it's one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. And he gave his life to the Lord. And it was just absolutely unbelievable. And it just brought me back to life. And I thought, man alive, what are you doing with your life? Here's somebody who'd thought about all the money that he could make, worked very hard for his family, had a new grandchild just a couple of weeks before he passed away, and, you know, had spent all this time building his empire, and it means nothing. You know, and people say, oh, you can't take it with you when you go, a bit flippantly, but the truth is you can't. They're not things you can take with you. It's only the things that you do with the Lord that will last. Everything else will fade away. It's very sobering, isn't it? You know? And we drive past his house whenever we're in Nottingham, and him and his wife's still there, and two of his daughters. And we'd go past, and every time we go past and I see all the balustrading and all the beautiful things that he's built, it just really brings things home to me again. Oh, and praise God that, you know, we know where he is, that he's with the Lord, you know, and we're still praying for his family. But it really makes you think about the things that we focus on, where our relationship with God is. I've made so many notes. It's unbelievable. Reams and reams, but I'm not sticking to them. Something I think that's really important to think about is where it says about, let me read it again. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. You know, do we hate the world? I don't mean the people, but do we hate the things of the world? You know, do we feel uncomfortable in the world? Because it says that we're citizens of heaven. It says we're like aliens and strangers here. Or are we too busy trying to fit in with everybody? Sometimes that's just easier, isn't it? Or do we genuinely think that surrendering all to God means that we're going to have this really boring life? Because he might stop me doing my music. He might stop me doing my dance. He might stop me doing this, that, or the other. You know, my sister-in-law said that to me once. She said, I hear what you're saying. I was sharing the gospel. But if I become a Christian, he might not want me to dance anymore. You know, and dance is my life. And, you know, and I was sort of encouraging her and saying, but God's given you those gifts and talents for a reason. You know, I can't tell you whether he's definitely going to take some away, but, you know, I believe my God wants to use those gifts and talents for his glory. And one of my absolute favourite quotes, who's seen Chariots of Fire? Great, isn't it? Love the music. Eric Liddell, the Olympian, 1924 Summer Olympics, won the gold medal in the 400 metres. And when he started doing running, his sister had a real issue with it. Because she said, it's just a distraction. You know, you're meant to be serving the Lord. And you're going off running and, you know, becoming famous and all of this. And she really struggled with it. And this is what he said. I believe God made me for a purpose. And that purpose is China. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And when I run for him. And in the film, and this was true in life, when he puts his head back, at the end of the race, the way he used to run, it was a weird style he had, but he used to just throw his head back and just be with the Lord, and he knew that God had pleasure in that. So he knew his purpose, but God had also given him a talent to use. I just love that. I just love that. You know, the talents and skills God's given you, he'll use them. He'll use them for his glory. And if he takes it away, maybe it wasn't worth having in the first place, because maybe he's got something better. You know, but it's a genuine thing that I think we worry about, that he's going to take that away from us. And I don't believe that that's the case. But I also think that when we're genuinely saying, I surrender, we wouldn't be too worried anyway, because we realise this is just so temporary, this time on earth. It's a temporary stop. And Paul understood about his destiny, but also about earthly works as well. And getting that balance right. Because you can focus on the earthly works. Burn yourself out. Been there, done that. Just doing stuff. And you actually find you haven't got time for God because you're so busy doing things for him, if that makes sense. You know, it's too exhausting to then think about actually spending time with him, because you've just been doing all this stuff. Or you could have your head in the clouds and find it difficult to just relate to people who are going through situations and praying them through it. And it is about both, that heavenly perspective, but bringing it here to earth as well. It isn't just about where we're going to spend eternity. It's about knowing who we are right now. You know, children of God. I mean, the things that he's done for us, just stop and think now about the things that he's done for you and where he's brought you so far. I mean, I'm still relatively young, right? I mean, 43. Relatively young, you know. And put your hand up if you knew me when I was little in the church. Who knew me? Scary, isn't it? You all feeling old right now. You know, I was a shy thing. I mean, I wouldn't even pray out loud. I didn't say a word, say boo to a goose. I was always crying if I got dropped off at someone's house or had to go to Sunday school. Sometimes I'd stay in the meeting with mum and dad because I didn't want to go to Sunday school, you know. God can take somebody's life and absolutely transform it. If somebody had said to me at 17, 18, I'd be stood doing this, I would have been absolutely terrified. All these faces looking at me. They're all lovely faces. You know, but he hasn't ruined my life. When I've surrendered to him and when I've given things to him, amazing things have happened. So I know that he's faithful. And I know that when I'm in his presence, it is the best thing, so why is it that we forget that sometimes? and just think, oh, it's going to be boring. How can God be boring? He created us. He created everything around us. How can somebody who created everything, knows us better than anyone else, be boring? He's anything but. You know, and I mean, you know, what do we think about the world? You know, and it, you know, we're told to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean? You know, the renewing of your mind. You know, it's talking about understanding the things of God, I think. Having an eternal perspective. Knowing who you are. Knowing what his word says. You know, and the crux of all of this is love. Loving other people. And if there's ever a time to operate in that, it's right now. Because there's some pretty scary things happening in the world at the moment. It's very uncertain at the moment. We don't know which way things are going to go. But God does. God wasn't surprised by the referendum result like some, you know, some of us were. He didn't go, oh, I didn't see that coming. Gosh. Right, now what? And we could easily focus on all the leaders and, you know, from the world's point of view, everyone's panicking because it's scary when your leaders step down. Who's in charge? Who's going to decide what happens? Oh, everything's going to cave in. And, you know, you can go down this whole track of, oh, my world, we're all doomed, you know. God's not surprised. He's still on the throne. He saw it coming. He knows the end from the beginning. He's outside of time. We get so caught up in it, in time, and constrained by all these things that we think are important and accumulating. And but like that, they could be gone. You know, so we need to trust in God. We need to fall at his feet. We need to run to his arms. Because really, what else is there that you can rely on in this day and age? Not a lot, let's be honest. Just another thing to think about as well. Do you ever look at your friends that aren't Christians and envy them? Because they just seem to have an easy life. You know, my best friend, and some people know her, just seems to have the life of Riley. Always seems to have money. Always happy. Always out doing things. Just, you know, if you looked at Facebook, think, wow, this person's got this incredible life. But what does it all mean in the light of eternity? You know, if you start to look at everything in your life and say to yourself, what does this mean in the light of eternity? It'll help you make some decisions. You know, sometimes when it comes to things like work, I mean, I'm working full time at the moment and it's hard. It is hard. It is busy working full time. Fitting in church things, doing all the stuff with the kids. And I felt like I needed to reduce my hours. Now, in the natural, you'd think, well, that's a bit daft, isn't it? I'm going to have less money. Yeah, I'm going to have less money. But I'm also going to get a bit of sanity back, you know. And it might be that God just wants to turn some things upside down that you're relying on. You know, let him give you some idea about what he wants for your working life or your home life or even your social life. Because sometimes we're making decisions based on how the world sees it and what our friends are telling us to do. But it says his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. And thank goodness they are. Because sometimes we come up with some pretty crazy stuff, don't we? Let's be honest. And the verse that's followed me around all my life, first time I got it was when I was baptized here. And Sue Austin, Eddie Ranger, Gilroy, I can't remember his first name. But anyway, Pete Gilroy. They all got this same verse for me separately, which is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. There is a second bit to it, but that's the bit that I held on to. And that verse has come alive for me so many times. And sometimes we have a verse that we feel is just written for us that we don't want to share with anyone else because that's our verse. That's mine. Proverbs 3:5. But when I was learning to drive, is David Kerrigan here, my old driving instructor? Not here today. David was my driving instructor, and he was really good. And he kept putting me through for my test because I was ready, and I failed four times. On the third test, David actually came with me because he couldn't understand why they kept failing me, so he thought it was their issue. So he sat in the car on the third one. That was the worst one. Because it was pouring with rain and I was doing a reverse park and there's David's face in the mirror. And he's not supposed to say anything or give you any kind of sign of how it's going. And I just saw one eyebrow go up and I knew I was doing a terrible job. And it must have been awful for him because he couldn't say anything. Turn the wheel. You know. So that was just devastating. Then I went off to university, so I didn't bother driving. Didn't need to drive for those 3 years anyway. And then when I started my working life as an occupational therapist, I wanted a community job because I'd been working on the wards, the mental health wards, which are a pretty intense place to work, get attacked on a daily basis. You know, it does wear you down a bit. And I'd done 2 years of that and I wanted to go in the community. And my boss said, to do that, you need to be able to drive. Or on a motorbike license, she said, you can get a Robin Reliant. Talk about incentive. So I thought, I'm not driving around Coventry in a Robin Reliant delivering raised toilet seats to people. It's not a good look. So I thought, right, I'm going for it. So I got another instructor. And on the morning of my test, my friend Joe gave me a ring and said, I've got a verse for you. Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Okay. So I'd heard the verse loads of times before, but it came alive for me that day because I stalled at some lights. Instead of going into a total blind panic like I would have done on the other test. Oh, we're all doomed. It's over. I've failed. That's it. No point carrying on. I just thought, trust the Lord with all your heart. My own understanding was that I failed. And I thought, no, even the best drivers stall. They just want to see how I handle it. Yeah, good for me. So I very calmly just drove off and I passed my test. The word of God coming alive. You know, it's a living, breathing thing. And it is not irrelevant to our lives. Far from it. It is relevant to our lives. It is very, very relevant to our lives. Psalm 73, 25 to 28. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Wow. Can we really say that? I desire nothing on earth. That's quite a thing to sing, isn't it? Can we truly say that? I was thinking about some of the songs we sing, some of the words, and this one really spoke to me, and I felt the Lord was saying that he's really working on my heart, that I can sing this in truth. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. I want to serve the purpose of God while I am alive. I want to give my life for something that will last forever. And it's the only thing that does last forever, isn't it? Jesus and our works with him. Oh, I delight to do your will. What is on your heart? Show me what to do. Let me know your will and I will follow you. Can you imagine what can be accomplished if we all sang that in spirit and in truth? Can you imagine? Just be absolutely incredible to serve the purpose of God in my generation. And it really struck me. I'm 43 now. There's things I had dreams about when I was in my 20s I haven't begun to do. I've been too busy, far too busy to get on with the things that have been on my heart to do. Man alive, did I need waking up? You know, and was it Dave Courtney I was talking to about this the other week, and he said there was a morning where he reached for his iPad. He was going to log on to Facebook, and he heard the Lord say very audibly, whose face are you seeking? Man alive, did that just, you know. And again, it's not about knocking social media. This is me realising where I've been at and wondering if anybody else has been in a similar place where we've just seen our life as the reality and God doesn't quite fit, whereas he's the reality. And start asking yourselves the parts of your life, do they fit with him? Do they fit with his purpose for your life? Do they fit with an eternal perspective? Because if they don't, it might be time to cut some things off. You know, sometimes there are people that we need to distance ourselves from, not because we don't love them, but because they're bringing us down, you know, and drawing us away. So there's loads more stuff, but I'm going to just finish with a quote, if I can find it. That's a picture of my cat. Doesn't he? And he looks like he's absolutely massive. And I had a chance to talk about just how we see our circumstances sometimes. He's the smallest cat in the world. He never really grew to full adult size. He's a total wuss, if anybody's ever met Milo. Run a mile if he saw you. But I just love that picture. But anyway, I'll read it on there. We may believe in eternity, but to what extent have we actually agreed with the world that eternity is not relevant until after this life? Eternity is not merely a time frame that is endless. It is profoundly and foremost a qualitative thing that is available now. When we begin to see all our moments set in the context of eternity, we will bring to those moments a seriousness that we would not otherwise have had. I just thought that's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I think I'm right in saying, Dave will know, that it says that eternity is written on our hearts. It says in the word. I don't know where. But it's in there. It's not something you've got to go and try and read about and learn. It's in there. And does having an eternal perspective mean that things aren't difficult? No, it doesn't. You know, when I had a miscarriage and the things that I went through with infertility and obviously with the adoption and everything, the eternal perspective really helped me because I suddenly realised I do have a child. I have a child in heaven. And me and Tino will get to see them one day. So I do have a birth child. You know, the world would say that I haven't, but God says that I have. I've got a child in heaven. You know, and I can't wait to meet them. Absolutely can't wait. Does that mean that it's not hard sometimes? No, it doesn't. It's still hard at different times with different situations. Still get the pangs, you know. I can't watch that one born every minute for several reasons, to be honest. But, you know, that's a hard thing to watch when you've not had that. You know, so having an eternal perspective and you know where your loved ones are doesn't mean that you don't miss them. Doesn't mean that it's not pain. That is real. Those things are real. It's about bringing everything together, knowing that God's got you in his hands and that we haven't got a lot of time to mess about here, you know. Where's Jay? There you are. So the time just goes so quick. There's so many things that have just been bursting in my heart. Maybe I'll share those on another occasion. But, you know, I just want us to take a few minutes and just kind of, you know, think about these things and ponder on that eternal perspective about God and who he is, about the fact that we're his children, about the fact that he has a purpose. We bandy that around all the time. He's got a purpose, got a plan for our life. But he really has. That is the reality. And it is exciting. It is exciting.